Today we discuss our thoughts on Fallout, the news of The Office recasting and reboots, all this and more. This is Nerds with Mics. Hello, everyone, and I am Travis.
I'm Justin.
And this is episode of 147 of Nerds with Mics, a podcast.
Episode of 147?
Episode of 147. I said what I said.
God, this is one episode of 147.
Yeah, I know. God, this is the worst. We're having such a good time tonight already.
So for reference, it's 8:30 p.m. and we joined the chat at 8 o'clock. So
yeah,
but half of that was me troubleshooting something unrelated to the show.
Yeah, that's fine. It's no worries. But anyways, yes, as I was saying, this is episode 147. Of Nerds with Mics, a podcast about movies, TV shows, games, technology, and much more. What?
I'm just chuckling.
Great start. I know, dude. It's been wild. So before we get into everything, because obviously we like to start off by talking about what we've been up to. Let's talk about what I've not been up to. So I had all intentions to record while Justin was gone. I actually fully recorded an episode, technically episode 147,
yep,
with my buddy Alex from the Two Worlds podcast. And I was editing online via our StreamYard because I didn't realize you can actually trim video on the website. So I was doing that and it made the edited version. So I was like, oh, I only need one version. So I deleted the original. And I guess the edited one's still tied to the original and it just deleted all of it. Do not pass go, do not collect $200, no recycle bin to pull it from. So that episode's just gone. So
I tried to get it back. I tried. Super happy with customer service. Just saying.
Yeah, because I can't really believe that it's just truly gone, but you know, it is what it is.
Basically, their stance is that we, as just users, have the ability to completely delete things from their server. I'm not a tech-oriented guy. I just don't believe that. I think that if Travis got on here and did some crazy terrorist manifesto and then went and committed an act of terror, but he deleted it first, I bet you $1 million they'd have that video tomorrow. So probably tonight. So I think they can get it. I think they can. I just don't think they want to.
Yeah, to be fair, like we reached out to them immediately when it happened.
Yeah.
Like
minutes
just open
after. Yeah.
Yeah, but still no such luck. But before I take a big sip of this water and we get started, I would like to talk about what we've been up to. And Justin, why don't you tell us what you've been up to?
So I've had a busy couple of weeks. My son turned 10. He had a birthday party. It was chaotic but fun. And he is, like I said, he's 10 years old, man. He's growing up. Just, he was a wee little pup at one point, and now he's a big kid. Immediately after the party, the very next day, I had to go to a conference for my work. I gave my first two professional presentations as an adult, which is weird to say. Scary, but fun. Also, man, I'll tell you what, I'm discovering a trend, Travis, and that is I go to a conference and I immediately, to like a city that I'm not from, and I immediately get on Zillow. And I'm like, where could I live here? Like, I love this city. So it's happened 2 years in a row now where I've gone to a city and I've immediately opened up Zillow and thought, yeah, I should just move down here. I did notice when I was down there, I saw a few highway signs, Atlanta, this way, Atlanta, that way. And I was like, you know,
not that far. It's only 3 hours, I think.
Yeah, I think so. But I had a car of six other coworkers, so I couldn't really.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that as in like
we actually met up one night, like just had you drive halfway.
I should have came
something.
There, honestly. Yeah, I should have been like, hey, are you getting your own room or whatever? I'll sleep on the floor.
I did. Oh, dude, man. Oh, my gosh. They put us up. I've never been to an Embassy Suites before, my dude. It's like an apartment.
Yeah.
You get like a living room and then an actual bedroom. It was crazy. But it was really nice. Did the presentations. I feel like I did okay. then drove back and and then on the fun side of things, I've been playing a lot of Siege still. I'm still, believe it or not, watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which it's you know, it's like seven seasons and they're like 20 some episode seasons. We actually, before we got on, we finished season 4, and those who know So it's pretty wild where things are headed in that show. And then there's another show that I watched that I think we're going to talk about in much greater detail, but that's Fallout, which I see. I'm not going to spoil yours, but I recently started playing Fallout 76 as a result. I love it. I mean, dude, I got into it. I those first couple episodes just hooked me, and then I left. And then I came back, and I think we watched every episode. We did watch every episode over the last like 2 days.
Did you watch it with your wife?
Yeah. So, all right. I got to tell you about my wife. All right. So I show her the
trailer. I told her you should have had her on, bro.
Well, you said about Taylor Swift, but I showed her the trailer of the show when it first came out a few weeks, a month or so ago, right? And she went, oh, that looks good. That looks like a good show. And then the time comes, I'm like, oh, we got to watch Fallout. She's like, I don't want to watch this show. I don't want to watch this show. I'm like, what do you mean you don't watch it? You said the trailer good. It just doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. I don't want to watch this. I think she liked it more than I did. So
okie dokie.
She loved it. I do want to ask you, do you think this is Walton Goggins? I'm not going to say it's his best role because I think Boyd Crowder is probably his best. But you think this is his best role?
It's definitely one of them. Now, I will say I've heard he was good in... Is it Deadwood or Justified? One of the two.
Justified. That's Boyd Crowder. That's Boyd Crowder.
Yeah, yeah. I heard he was excellent in that. Oddly enough, after this show, I immediately added which of the two was it? Justified or Deadwood he's in?
He might be in Deadwood, but Justified's the one that I know him from. Boyd Crowder is a phenomenal character.
Yeah, so I added that to my watch list. I haven't started it yet, but I did add it because I need more Walter Goggins in a Western role. So Walton that's Goggins. Why the yeah, it's not Walter, it's Walton. Okay, Walton Goggins in in more of a Western role again. Yeah. So I decided to download that and yeah, so I'm looking forward to starting that because I finished a show which I'll talk about. But yeah.
So real quick, I'm gonna pop something up here. You may have seen me being distracted because I was gonna set that up on my phone. The Rough House Pictures Instagram page made this edit, which Rough House Pictures they make that's Danny McBride's company. They make Righteous Gemstones, as you can see here on the nose there. He's got
that's nightmare fuel, bro.
I know him's from the wasteland. So
Baby Billy looks like he could be over 200 years old, to be baby honest.
Baby Billy Bible bunkers.
Hymns from the wasteland.
No, I love that. So I saw that just before we got on to. I wanted to share that. But Justified, man. So I watched I think I watched the first two seasons and then I didn't stop for any like reason other than like, I think life just got busy and we never went back to it. Kayla didn't fully buy into it either. So it's kind of like just my show. Even though I like made her watch it with me, but I would love to go back and finish that one. And then they did the spinoff show this past year, I think. Right.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. What have you been up to?
So I've had quite a busy few weeks. I mean, some of the stuff you would have heard on the last episode, but you won't get to hear that now. So I'm just going to bring up everything I've been up to essentially over the past 2 weeks. So I finished Fallout. It only took me 2 days to get through all of it, I think. After that, just the other day, I downloaded Fallout 76, created my character, played long enough to step outside the vault.
What are you playing on, PS5?
Well, I downloaded and started it on Steam, but I did just download it on PS5 as well. And I can't remember if it syncs your stuff back and forth or not. So
I don't think it does.
That's why I kind of waited is I was like, I needed to look to see if number one, if it was cross save, number two, if it was cross play. Where are you playing it at?
PS5. I don't have it anywhere else.
Oh, okay. Well, you do now. If you think about it.
Oh, yeah. But I'm like level 17 on PS5, so I probably won't make a new character.
We'll have to see. We'll have to see if it, because it has you sign in with your Bethesda account, so we'll have to see if it'll sync between the two.
I don't remember doing that. Maybe I did that a while ago.
It did on PC. Now maybe not on PS5, but anyways, so did that. You know, in I played that game when it very first came out. It had a rough launch, if I remember performance-wise, because it was the first Fallout game that was primarily online, I believe. And obviously, we know that Bethesda games are known for bugs, but on top of bugs, we also had online server issues. But even playing it last time, I don't remember them, because when I was playing through the vault again, I don't remember them specifically calling out that you were in West Virginia. Like, I know, obviously, the map and everything is a lot of stuff from West Virginia, but I always thought that they like just alluded to it being like the Appalachia or whatever.
That's what it's called, I think, in the game, is Appalachia.
Yeah, but before I even stepped out of the vault, they specifically named the state West Virginia.
Oh, cool.
Like, and I don't remember that the first time I played through the vault scene. Mm-hmm. But where it's Reclamation Day, they talked about like going out making like West Virginia thrive again or something like that. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, cause I didn't remember that the first time. But yeah, excited to kind of get back into that game, because I'll be honest, like I've tried to get it into Fallout games before, and they're much harder for me to get into versus like a Skyrim or an Elder Scrolls type game. But I am looking forward to playing it, because they do have a certain charm about them as far as like the world and the humor. Outside of that, yesterday I went to see the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, which is the Guy Ritchie movie that is about... I think it's World War One.
Is it one?
Maybe it's two.
I don't know. I thought it looked a little more like, I know it's only like 20 years separates them, but it looked a little more modern in the trailer. I thought it was two.
It's about the Nazis.
Two.
So yeah, I just realized that. So it's two. But what's cool about it, without giving any away, is it starts off as like a traditional like war movie. I got very much like Inglourious Bastard vibes.
Cool.
But by the end of it, it turns into a war movie, but also like a heist movie, and it's pretty cool. It was slow in some parts, but overall the cast was phenomenal. But yeah, overall good movie. I also finished A Good Place. I went through that really fast. I think it took me maybe like 2 weeks to go through the entire show. You were right, it was a very tight show and a very easy watch, but an enjoyable watch. That last episode, by the way they tied it together and tied it up,
imagine a wave.
Yeah, dude, it was pretty rough, man, to be honest with you. And to see them all go at different times as opposed to just all at once, I was not expecting that, to be honest with you. I was telling you, I got a little bit of Ted Lasso vibes. I mean, I think this show is definitely better than Ted Lasso without question. But what I mean by that is like Ted Lasso is one of those shows that like you'd be laughing 1 minute and very deeply in your feels the next. And I very much got that same thing from this show as well. And the cast was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Team Chidi all the way. but no, great show. There for a while, I wasn't sure how I was going to like it. It was the beginning of season two. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this now. Because there's like that part, and I mean, the show's been over for a while, so I guess spoilers doesn't really matter. But like the first few episodes where they're just constantly rebooting.
I love that. You didn't like that?
And I'm just like, God, this, like, I just want this to go a direction, but it's like constantly, like, I think it's just the idea of them getting to know each other and then their memories constantly getting wiped. I was just like, this is never going to go anywhere. I hate this. But then that didn't last. By middle of season two, it was fine. And then I also didn't expect Michael to become good. So I thought that was really cool. So overall the show was great. I think my favorite thing of the whole show, though, is I love the chemistry between, the plot twist at the end was very good, or at the end of season one, which I kind of got that at the very beginning of, I got that vibe at the very beginning of the episode of the finale. However, I'll tell you, like, the chemistry between Michael and Janet, though, like, honestly, like, by the end of it, just made me, just kind of tugged at my heartstrings a little bit, made me real sad. And him ending up becoming human was just, like, I really feel like the best. I feel like each character got its send-off, like, how they should have, you know. What I thought was wild, though, is I didn't expect Jason to be the first one to be ready to go. Like I was not prepared for that. I was like, but you know, it is what it is.
He's no, in the show. New Acolyte show from Star Wars coming up.
Oh, okay. That's cool. It'll be interesting to see his character. Also started the show Loot, which is an Apple TV show I had not seen before.
It's Maya Rudolph show, right?
Maya Rudolph, and then Adam Scott is in it as well.
Both in The Good Place.
Yeah. So basically the show begins with her and him getting divorced. And then she basically inherits half his money. So she's like a billionaire. And then she finds out that she has this foundation that was set up in her name that she had knew nothing about. And she's trying to turn a new leaf, but she's obviously wealthy and rich and she's very out of touch. So when she tries to get involved with this foundation, it's just all kinds of things ensue. It's funny. So I'm halfway through the first season, but it's really well written. It's funny. That's true. Yeah, and then I watched the first episode of Shogun, which that show is very heavy, very bleak. So that'll take me a while to probably get through. I think it's a mini series. I don't know if they're doing any seasons of that. And then I'm about to hit 90 in Final Fantasy. Good news and bad news. I'll be hitting level 90, but my story level, I still have quite a bit of story to do. So
gotcha.
I think I'm about halfway time. Through the story. Yeah. I think I'm almost 85 level in the story, but my character level is about 90, so I still got a ways to go. So I'll probably be playing some of that.
Near your Legion go.
My PC. However, when I get to 90, I do want to figure out how to set up controls and stuff to be able to play between both, because I would like to be able to play it on the go when I'm traveling and stuff. Outside of that, that is pretty much all I have been up to. So when we go to move on, let's talk about, so we mentioned that we were both fans of the Fallout series, right? So let's talk about, and we're going to go ahead and give, obviously, if you're watching via video, you'll know this will be spoilers because it says it on the screen. However, if you're an audio listener, we're going to give you a spoiler warning that we're going to talk about the Fallout series. So if you don't want to listen to this, you'll need to skip ahead. But let's talk about what we thought. Justin, I'll let you start because I know, I feel like for the most part we're going to align, but I know that we've already had one conversation where we kind of disagreed about something. So
I've already forgotten what that was. What did we disagree on?
We'll get to it. We'll get to it because I'll talk about it.
I truly love the show. The first episode, I mean, it captured that that magical charm that is Fallout, of like just the optimism and the I got back up. The horror that is Fallout in that opening scene with Walton Goggins and his daughter. Then the absolute just ignorant bliss with Lucy or Goosey in the vault at the beginning, about to meet her new husband, about to, you know, make a child. The goal is, I guess, you know, and just like all of that. And then the horror / comedy of her then ascending to the surface. Loved how over the top violent it was. I mean, gross even to some levels, but like the game is gross. Like, you know, you're shooting off limbs, the VAT system, you know, I mean, it's a gross kind of game when you think about it, but to see it in TV was a little different, I guess. The characters, I mean, I know what we disagree on. That's about what I said, characters. I thought that each of our three main characters, the ghoul, Lucy and Maximus, were pretty well thought out. I thought all the side characters were pretty well thought out, specifically Thaddeus, Maximus's squire. Really liked him. Liked that we had dog meat. I thought that the characters that remained in the vault, like her brother, I forget his name at the moment, and her cousin, who a little bit of a creep. Everyone just seemed pretty well thought out. Then, of course, throughout the 8 episodes, we're uncovering kind of multiple conspiracies that tie into one bigger one, which they've already said. Todd Howard and Jonathan Nolan have said that this game is canon in the Fallout universe. So, like, we got some major bombshells about, like, this world and, like, the games we've been playing for decades. So I thought, like, I feel like they took really good care of the property and the story. They remained respectful to it, and I feel like they enhanced it. I did ask my friends, I said, which show did the video game adaptation better, Fallout or The Last of Us? Because I think I lean Fallout, only because this is an original story. I came in and I was going to be surprised no matter what happened. With The Last of Us, I knew what was going to happen, and they decided not to throw any curveballs at me.
They just kind of built upon and expanded upon what was there, but they didn't necessarily change the direction.
Correct. Yeah.
I think if they change the direction, it'll more so be in season two.
I could see that. Yeah. So at the moment, I do think it's Fallout. I kind of think Fallout. I mean, I think The Last of Us is really good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this isn't a dig on The Last of Us. I think The Last of Us is like an excellent show, but I think I enjoyed Fallout more. My biggest knock is that when the trailer first came out, I was like, oh my God, that's Michael Emerson. I love Michael Emerson. Ben Linus is like my favorite character on television, probably. And dude lasts like an episode and a half. So,
yeah. Yeah, I know. I didn't realize he was, I mean, I knew he was going to be in it, but I wasn't sure how long.
Technically, he's in like every episode.
I mean, technically, you're right. But like, I was really like, oh, cool. He's going to be in this show. And I was really like expecting to see him throughout. Which I guess, like you said, theoretically you kind of do, but like, you know, not obviously as his whole self. But yeah, anything else you want to add before I go? Cause I know we're going to get into a little bit of a debate about a certain character.
No, we're good.
What I was going to say is I felt like this show did a great job of capturing like the environment and the feel of the game in the show without overly doing it, right? Like, I felt like it did a good job capturing it while also keeping it grounded as well. Mm-hmm. You know, the vault tech and all that stuff always has like this cheesy, very commercial salesman vibe to it. And I felt like that translated really well into the show. What I will say character-wise, so Lucy I thought was great. I see what you're already doing, bro. what'd you think about his character, bro?
Loved him.
What'd you think about that cult, though?
They were interesting because, like, the show really kind of kept playing with this and making us think that they were going to be bad guys, but like they weren't. They were victims themselves.
Yeah,
which I thought was fascinating. Even when like cut away, it was like test subjects, but you find out that they've been test subjects like their whole life, and you know they're genuinely nice people. So I was kind of like, just stay there.
But yeah.
Maximus, yeah, for almost sure. Did.
Yeah, and I thought that was very interesting about how Maximus, because he's obviously never experienced anything like that before. So when he's in that room, just eating popcorn and chilling in his robe, he's like on cloud nine. You know what I mean? He's like, I don't want to leave. Like, but Lucy, I thought was great. I thought they did a good job of transitioning her out of the vault because she still very much had that tries to always find the good in everything. And then you can just kind of see that slowly start to fade away, like the longer she's on the surface. And I thought the line that the ghoul had told her is like, I'm you or something like that, but just like with more time, you know what I mean? Basically just saying that, like, while you think everything's peaches and rainbows right now, like, you know, I'm really you, just give it time. And I thought that was pretty powerful, but like, you know, I'm glad that they kind of explained that she was like efficient and like, you know, as a marksman and stuff like that, because that's how she was trained in the vault. Because like when she transitions out of the vaults, oh my God.
You like that meme?
0 out of 75 speech. And this is the character we're going to get into.
Yeah.
We're going to get into this. So I thought they did a good job handling that, is because like the problem that I always have is like, especially in video games where you take a character that's never killed someone. Like I always think about when they rebooted Tomb Raider, right? Mm-hmm. Like she has this dilemma where she doesn't want to kill anyone. She kills her very first person because it's either like she dies or they die. And then after that, it's like she doesn't care to kill anybody. She'll kill everyone and she's great at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I felt like this show handled that pretty well. The Ghoul I thought was phenomenal. The opening scene with him and his daughter, and just the weight that I felt, and just the feeling I got in my stomach sank when you see all these nuclear bombs going off in the distance, and you see them just riding their horse down along, like, with the overlook of LA, was just, it was awesome. Very bleak, but just like, cause it started off very happy go lucky. Well, minus like everybody making fun of him. But, and I also thought it was really cool. Like, because he's a ghoul and he's lived for so long, we get the most of his backstory versus everyone else, because he's obviously lived the longest. And also it kind of broke my heart a little bit that his wife turned out to be a hot piece of garbage.
Yeah. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So at the end of the season, he says, you know, I'm going to ask you the question I've been asking everybody. Where's my family? Is he looking for his wife? And if so, why?
Yeah.
I mean, is he looking forward to rekindle things or to finish her off? Because she's clearly not a good guy.
Do you think that she, I'm wondering if like she didn't let him in the shelter.
I've thought about that, or I don't know, because the daughter and him were together and you do see him riding. So maybe they get to the vault and she's just like, nah, pal, take a hike.
They've already been exposed or something like that. So they leave them both out.
I think the daughter will go in. I think security will stop and they'll bring the daughter in. I think his daughter's alive.
Yeah, maybe he'll already have radiation, like Scott, signs of radiation on his skin or something. Like, you know, maybe they just won't let him in.
Oh, I think she's just going to deny it. I think she's just going to say no, not him.
That, or she'll find out that he was spying on her the whole time and he says no. She says no.
Yeah.
Especially after the plot twist you see with all the cryo chambers, and you see that one guy is still running things. He's like a brain walking around, which is
Bud.
Pretty wild. Yeah, yeah.
God, I gotta rewatch this show again, man. It's so good.
I know. Yeah. Who was your favorite character?
I honestly, man, that's tough. That's tough. I mean, I'm probably leaning towards the Ghoul. I mean, only because like his story is so,
So as long as it's not Maximus.
Well, I like Max. I like them all. I think they all did great. And I feel like anytime any of them was like leading the story, I was never bored. Like they did a great job. But with the Ghoul, we get so much more of his story. We get pre-war, post-war. I mean, we get so much. And there were times when I was watching this show, more early on, when I was like, I don't know if he's the villain of the show or not. He might be just the bad guy. Because he was pretty questionable. I mean, he did some pretty questionable things. But I knew that, like, even if it was a bad guy, he's my ride or die. So I didn't care.
Yeah, he's very much an anti-hero, I feel like. You know what I mean? Yeah. So with Maximus, my least favorite character, you thought I was crazy. I had to point you to a subreddit that was full of people saying they did not like this character.
One thread.
One thread, over 300 comments. which I guess 300...
It wasn't even the subreddit designated to the TV show. That was for Fallout in general.
They specifically made one about him.
That's fine. I mean, haters everywhere, man. I like
Maximus. He's just a weird character. Now, I will tell you, he just seems to have a lot of traits of a psychopath. Like he'll just be staring off and then just come back to reality.
I love it.
He obviously watched that guy die.
Yeah.
He also has like this whole thing for the Brotherhood, but then he does things that completely contradicts what it. Now he may be obviously like morally torn. He obviously seems like he's grown up under a rock, but it seems like the Brotherhood is the ones that have raised him, I assume, because they found him. But he didn't grow up with bro energy, maybe because he's been getting beat up his whole life. I don't know. Maybe that's the way he is. However, I did go down a conspiracy rabbit hole about why he is the way he is. And let me tell you what you think. And I think even if it's not the reason, I hope somebody finds this Reddit thread and they read it and they adopt this idea. But they said, one of the people said, what if he is a synth? Which is like, because there's a synth race, obviously, in Fallout where they're they've kind of progressed, right? Like series one, series two, they were just flat out robots. But by the time they get to, I think, version three, they're like humanoids essentially. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they replace people in the Commonwealth and they replace them with a lookalike to do some sort of espionage. But that could explain why he's weird. But also, if you think about it, we got flashbacks from everybody else. The only flashback we ever got with him was that child scene of him looking up at the Brotherhood, and that's it. That's the only thing we've gotten from him.
Season two is the season of Maximus, dude.
Yeah. So I was like, well, maybe he is a humanoid of some kind, and maybe he's actually been sent in to take the Brotherhood of Steel out from inside. I don't know. But that would explain why he's a little weird, especially when it came to the conversation about sex.
Yeah. Make it explode.
I hate you so much.
Why?
But overall, I thought it was a phenomenal show. Every episode honestly hit for me. I thought the creatures were really well done. Like just everything about the show, I think was really top tier, and I definitely want to rewatch it at some point for sure. Yeah. Can't get season two soon enough.
I know.
The only thing I would say is I wish they would have trusted in themselves enough to let this be a weekly release.
Yes. Yes.
I think they were a little afraid of how the show was going to be received, especially from a base that weren't already fans of Fallout. But I really wish this would have been a weekly show, because I could
season
have
two theorized. Might be.
I'm hoping so.
It blew up. The show blew up and it was renewed almost immediately. So like, I'm glad to see Walton Goggins like get an actual leading role in a major show. Like dude has earned it. I mean, he's been phenomenal in everything he's been in.
Yeah. Yeah. Now,
Ella Purnell, did you ever watch Yellow Jackets?
I watched the first season. I haven't seen the second season.
She's in Yellow Jackets. She's Jackie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that show.
I do too. It's good.
Got that creepy Lost vibe.
Yeah.
Now, I know we wanted to, anything else on Fallout before we continue?
It's just really good. You should watch it.
Because I feel like we could talk about Fallout all episode, but we're not going to.
No.
Let's talk about another show that we love and is near our dear to our heart, which is The Office. And you had some news around that, right?
Yeah. So last week, seemingly out of nowhere. So like, okay, back up. Basically, since The Office ended, there's been like, I feel like murmurings and rumblings of like a reboot or a spinoff or a sequel. And like, it's kind of picked up more, especially with Peacock. And like, I think it came out that NBC was in fact going to move ahead, but like, we didn't know what it looked like. Details are very kind of scarce. Then last week, all of a sudden out of nowhere, it was announced that Domhnall Gleeson, who was General Hux in the Star Wars sequels, he was in Harry Potter.
Execute all Peter. The 66.
Yeah, that's not what he says though in Star Wars.
Okay.
and then Sabrina, I'm not gonna say this right, but Sabrina Impacciatore.
No, you nailed it. That's it.
Impacciatore. I don't know. She was in The White Lotus. We're cast in this Office reboot spinoff show, and we're like, what? What does this mean?
Is this our Jim and Pam?
Who knows? But basically nothing is known about the show other than it will not be a true reboot. It's going to be a brand new Office with new characters. It's only going to be set in the same world as Dunder Mifflin. My guess is it's going to be a different type of thing, but like the same camera crew will be there doing like season two of The American Workplace, right? Greg Daniels, though, who brought The Office to America in the first place and show ran the show for all 9 seasons, is going to be behind this project. So I do have faith in that. He also does the show Upload, which I really like. I think you like it too. I still haven't watched season 3 yet. I mean, this has the potential to be a good show. I mean, I think as long as you stay far away from like Dunder Mifflin and like you don't want to touch what has already existed. Right. You don't want to come in and have a brand new Dunder Mifflin or to continue Dunder Mifflin. I mean, I wouldn't even go to another branch of Dunder Mifflin. I would just cut it out completely. Right. We get our paper from Dunder Mifflin. That's like the only reference I'm like willing to accept, basically, because it's up to me. But I just kind of think that a whole new type of workplace would be ideal, but it's got to be good. Part of what made The Office so great, I mean, people say that Steve Carell leaving is what killed, you know, The Office. And I mean, to an extent that is true. But it was also like the ensemble cast is what kept it going. That's why people kept watching. So like, you got to have a strong lead with a strong cast with it. One person is not going to make or break that show. The writing just has to be solid. So, I mean, he's done it once. He could probably do it again. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm like you, though. I don't want it to be a reboot, and I don't really want them to touch what's already been done. I think maybe a call out to Dunder Mifflin would be fine, like you said, or maybe what they do is they bring it into the new age where obviously paper's a dying business and it's like a new take on whatever would have replaced paper or something digital, something in, you know, in this age, right? Yeah. You know, I think would be really cool to see. I mean, shit, what would be really cool is if maybe it was a new business started by Dave.
Suck it.
Yeah, suck it. You know, because at the end, I think he went back to owning Dunder Mifflin, right? So it could be like maybe Suck It took off, made him super rich, so he decided to start a new business, and then whatever that is, you know what I mean?
Did you ever watch Avenue 5 on HBO?
No, I have no idea what that is.
It's really good, but it has David Wallace and Gabe in it. And it's honestly one of the funniest shows I've ever seen. It got canceled after 2 seasons, but that's what made me think of it was that connection to. Did you ever watch Veep?
No, we've talked about this now.
Same creator as Veep. That's
okay.
Veep is the funniest show I've ever seen in my life.
Okay. You said that all the time, and I'm starting to believe you.
Have I ever given you a bad recommendation on a show?
Not yet, I don't think. Maybe if you would have told me to watch, I think you did at one point in time tell me to watch, what's that show where Kevin Spacey was the president?
House of Cards.
Yeah, House of Cards. That was probably a bad recommendation.
No, House of Cards, the first 3 seasons are great. And how many seasons is that? One season kind of sucks, and then he did all the stuff he shouldn't have done. Then they did one without him. The guy who made that show, Bo Willimon, is also writing. We talked about this, I believe. He's writing the new Star Wars movie from James Mangold, like the Dawn of the Empire.
What's funny is I feel like I seem to watch all these shows you recommend, but I don't know if you've ever watched a show I've
recommended. I tried Chuck, dude. That was awful. I'm sorry. I tried.
It's fine.
I've watched Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
You talked me into Game of Thrones.
How much of it did you watch? Two seasons. You didn't finish. Yeah, I was going to say, I know you didn't finish it. Yeah. Well, anyways, so before we get into
just afraid.
Oh, come on now. So what we want to do is we really wanted this news to kind of be what sparks our conversation around reboots. But before we really get into that, I know Justin had put down some of his favorite reboots. I also added some stuff in there as well. And then I also wrote down a list of some reboots that weren't super well received. You want to go ahead and share the ones that you wrote down for some of your favorite reboots of all time?
Yeah. So if superhero movies count, I mean, those get rebooted all the time. We've got Batman Begins, Spider-Man Homecoming, X-Men First Class. I think you wrote that one on there, but I wanted to lump it in with superhero movies, so I apologize.
Yeah, that's fine. No, that's fine.
And like, so first of all, the term reboot, we're kind of using it loosely in a way, I think. So some of these you may go, that's not a reboot, but I don't care. Also the Batman. That's a good one too.
Yeah.
Ghost, which is a sitcom on CBS. Like that was a British show that was then made in America. Yeah, yeah. I consider that more of I don't know if that's a reboot, but I'm throwing it on here. The 1999 version of The Mummy. So good. Not the Tom Cruise.
Not that Tom Cruise bullshit. But I also, yeah. I looked up the OG one on IMDb. I didn't realize The Mummy was a reboot.
It's like from the 30s, right?
Yeah, it's real old. Yeah, yeah.
It's very old, yeah. Doctor Who reboots itself like every few years.
Well, Doctor Who, I think what it originally came out was an educational show, and then it turned into the time-traveling show that it is.
I don't know about that. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Star Trek, Mad Max recently with Fury Road, and then we're getting the other movie, the spinoff. We're getting a spinoff of the reboot. Pretty soon, Planet of the Apes gets rebooted. I feel like every 10 years now. Ocean's 11.
That new trilogy is really good, though.
Yeah, Ocean's 11 and then Ocean's 8. Scream kind of went through reboot with Scream. Was it 5 or 6 that started the reboot? One of them started a reboot.
Yeah.
But it's also still very much tied to the original world. Fargo, the TV show. Oof, so good. And then some games like Wolfenstein, when it switched over to like this, like I think it's called the New World, was the first one. GTA 3 used to, it was top down, kind of a different game. And then Fallout 3, speaking of Fallout today, Fallout 3 changed the game completely because the other games were like almost strategy role playing games. Yeah. What do you have for some bad ones, Travis?
So the 2019 version of Hellboy, which had David, I can't remember his Harbor. Last name. Harbor. Yeah. That was not really well received. The reboot of Nightmare on Elm Street, which starred the guy that played as Rorschach in The Watchmen. I can't remember his name.
When did that one come out?
It was a few years after The Watchmen, I think. It was fairly, really? it's been a while ago. Yeah, it wasn't well received. Cabin Fever, which I believe is Cabin Fever the one with Chris Hemsworth in it? I think.
I don't know.
We'll and then also A Day the Earth Stood Still, which was the one with Keanu Reeves. That one was. Flatliners, which was a reboot of the original one that had Kiefer Sutherland and Kevin Bacon in it. And then there was The Fog, which had Tom Welling, which played Superman on the CW show. Red Dawn, which did have Chris Hemsworth, and that was a remake from the original, which I think had Kurt Russell in it. And then we had Total Recall, which was an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, and then it got remade with, what is his name? The guy that played Bullseye in the Daredevil movie, and he was also the Penguin in Batman.
Oh, like Colin Farrell.
Yeah, Colin Farrell's in that. And then you also had RoboCop, which wasn't that great. I thought it was decent, but it wasn't really well received. So that was just, some real, real stinkers there. But outside of that, what we kind of wanted to talk about, I had wrote down a few things around like some reboot do's and don'ts, and I just wanted to kind of share some thoughts and then have some discussions around it. So you had mentioned this earlier when it came to talking about The Office. So one do is respect the originals, right? So you said, you know, you can respect them, but you don't necessarily need to touch them, right? So with that, I think when it comes to respect the originals, I think avoiding replicating the exact same thing, right? And just using it as maybe a base, but then innovate on top of that. I think a lot of times people just try to redo exactly what has already been done, which isn't necessarily always a bad thing, but I think you have to think about it. Like, are you honoring the original or are you just completely trashing it?
I thought of one. The Psycho remake.
With
Vince Vaughn, I believe, right?
Yeah. It came out in 98.
That's, why do you know that?
I don't know. Don't worry about it.
Okay. And Hesh.
Ben-Hur.
You remember? She died last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that last year or 2 years ago?
Actually, it may have been 2 years ago. Now I don't think about it. It's real sad.
It was.
Yeah. So respecting, obviously, the originals, I think a big part of it, too, is casting wisely. Mm-hmm. For whoever you're going to be obviously rebooting, I think while they do need to share some maybe similarities from the original casting, I think they need to be wise choices. Have you ever seen a reboot where you just felt like the casting was just not right?
I mean, I have an example of one where I thought the casting was right and it didn't work out, and that's the Men in Black reboot from a couple of years ago. I thought that casting was going to land, and it didn't.
Yeah.
Although I don't think it was the casting that was bad. I just think the movie itself was bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, the casting I felt like should have been great, but the story was not great at all.
They should have done the 21 Jump Street spinoff into Men in Black like they were rumored to have done.
Also think about the Roadhouse reboot, too.
Oh, 21 Jump Street. Amazing reboot.
Oh, yeah, that is true. And that's also casting choice.
Yeah. Oh, 10 out of 10 reboot on the reboot scale.
Yeah. That was great. And then also, I think modernizing a reboot without losing kind of the soul of the original, I think is important too. So kind of like I mentioned, like if you're going to like reboot or have a spinoff of The Office, like it's okay to bring it in modern times. You don't need to keep it in the early 2000s, but you kind of need to capture kind of what made it special. You know
what I mean?
How many
times has A Star Is Born been rebooted?
It's been at least five, I think.
What, really?
Yeah, you can look it up on IMDb because I think the last one it did, I think, was Barbra Streisand before Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. I don't know why I know that, but I think I'm right. But anyways, and also I think it's okay to not only, you know, when you're bringing it into modern times, it's okay to expand the universe, especially if you plan on taking things beyond. What are you looking at? What?
No, it was made once and it's had four reboots.
Oh, that's wild. But I think expanding on the universe, like if you're rebooting, is okay to do, especially if you plan to continue after the reboot. It's okay to expand on the universe, I think, as long as you kind of also keep it grounded, I think is important. And I think the last thing, more importantly, and I think this is something, I mean, I wouldn't consider Deadpool a reboot, obviously, but I think one thing that Ryan Reynolds was really good at when doing Deadpool was he was really good at listening to the fans. I think that's a big part of it. Obviously, when it comes to like the filming process and all that stuff, a lot of times by the time you get to that point, all those decisions are already made that are going into the movie. So I think if it's something that's going to be a reboot, they should really take the time to ask fans what they want, create different opportunities for fans to come and share their thoughts and opinions, whether these are at cons or whatever, and take that feedback into consideration when going forward with a project, I think is super important. Because the thing is we've talked about nostalgia here a lot, right? And I think a lot of times some of these movies and games and everything that you're trying to reboot, nostalgia is kind of what keeps it in the place that it is in our minds and our hearts. And sometimes when you mess with that, people get real angry. You know what I mean? I think about that with this upcoming KOTOR reboot.
If we, you know what I mean?
If we ever see it, like that was a game that I remember loving when I was younger. And I'm just kind of curious, like how this is going to be with a reboot. But yeah. So some don'ts. Is there anything you want to add to do's, Justin? Mm-mm,
nope.
Did I do a good job capturing this?
It was okay. It was okay.
You've had better?
Slightly.
I think one of the other things too is to don't ignore continuity. So I think one of the big things too, actually, as an example, I had written down here. With Psycho in 1998, it received criticism for its lack of originality and failed to capture the essence of Hitchcock's masterpiece. So yeah, don't ignore continuity, because you know a lot of times that's what makes these films special. So, and then also I had mentioned nostalgia earlier. You also can't solely rely on nostalgia to be enough to get you by, right?
Force Awakens.
Yeah, exactly. I also think it's not a reboot, but it messes with a lot of nostalgia. But I thought was handled wonderfully Why would I even use that word? Is Ready Player One. It had a lot of things from your childhood, but it was handled in a way that, like, here's the things that you remember, you know, and love. We're just going to represent them in the film, but we're not going to do anything with that in regards of like adding or taking away from it. It just is what it is. Also think about that from like Toy Story, you know what I mean? Like when they, the way they do their characters. But yeah, you can't solely rely on nostalgia to get by. You also cannot sacrifice substance for spectacle. So, in regards of like, you know, feel like you're getting shortchanged on story and whatnot. Just because now you have all this technology with special effects and all this stuff, that you focus more on that as opposed to the actual story itself. Also Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
That's why I thought that Rogue One was one of the best Star Wars movies we had seen in the modern times, because they didn't focus on They still used a lot of practical effects. It seemed very grounded. They tried to tie it as closely as they could to, because it is it Bump Up? Is it, it leads up to right up to A New Hope, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's why that did such a good job, is because it was tying into the old movies. But they could have easily just made it a spectacular thing because of all the new special effects and stuff like that. I feel like that's also what happened with the prequels as well, because those are the first ones where we had a lot of special effects and stuff, and you could tell that was a big focus with those, which I don't know if you saw, but The Phantom Menace is actually getting ready to return to the theaters for 25th year anniversary.
Yeah, which is in May, right?
May the 4th be with you.
Nice.
Yeah. And then obviously don't force unnecessary changes. So if a story is good and you don't need to reinvent the wheel, don't force things for the sake of just changing to say you changed something. Obviously you want to borrow as much from the source material as you can, but don't change like things that are pillars in the movie of like, you don't understand why they would have changed something. And then also I think that developers can't really, they should never underestimate the challenge. I think a lot of times going into a reboot, right, I think they underestimate the challenge because they say, oh, well, we already have all the source material we need because it's technically already been done. We just have to recreate it essentially. And I think sometimes they let that wash over them and not really think that it's going to be challenging, because I think you have to do one thing or a couple things. You have to do one, a good job of making it your own, but also honoring the original while also pleasing the fans. I think I would almost say it's almost harder to do a reboot than it is something original, personally. I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything that you feel like should never, well, I guess, are there any things that you feel like should never be rebooted from your point of view? And is there anything that you wish would be rebooted? I wish I would have wrote this down ahead of time, but I didn't think about it.
I mean, that's probably going to be something that's going to come up like on a per basis type thing. I think that we reboot things too soon now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the Harry Potter HBO series, right? It's probably too soon to remake Harry Potter. I think the idea of doing it in the form of a TV show kind of saves it a little bit. I mean, obviously some movies I think are untouchable. Don't touch the original Star Wars trilogy. Probably don't touch Lord of the Rings movies. Probably don't touch, you know, any movie that's like dubbed a classic, which I feel like Disney is kind of bad about that. They'll take all these animated classics and then go, oh, we're going to make a live action one. So I don't know. I think it's going to be kind of per basis.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your thoughts on them doing that with like taking animated and made it live? Do you think that's a genuinely good idea? Or do you think it's honestly just like a cash grab?
It's cash grab. I think it's a cash grab. And also I read something one time. It is probably a conspiracy theory about like something about the rights, like to retain the rights or something like that. I don't really understand how that stuff works though.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I know what you're referring to. I think for me, a few movies I would never like to see remade, Back to the Future. That's mm-hmm. one. I think it should never be touched.
See, that's one I think it actually could work, or maybe like a sequel set like present day. I don't know.
I honestly expected something to be announced when, because in, was it 2000? What year did the Cubs win the World Series? Do you know? Do you remember?
Not the top of my head.
Well, anyways, that was the year that technically Back to the Future went into the future. I want to say, was it 2015? Has it already been that long ago? It
may have been 2015. Let me look.
Yeah, but anyways, Back to the Future 2, that's 16. That's the date that they went into the future to and Back to the Future 2. So I was wondering if they would do anything around that time frame, but I don't know. I mean, maybe it'd be cool with like today's special effects or whatever. I'm actually in the process of putting together a Lego set. My first, for my birthday, I was gifted a Lego set of the DeLorean. Nice. So I've been putting it together. It's like 1800 pieces.
Jeez.
Yeah. It's like 11 bags of Legos. At least you can do it in waves, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of like reliving that nostalgia a little bit. But I also think, I guess to my point too, I guess that's one of the reasons that I wouldn't want to have it remade, is because it does hold like such a nostalgia point in my life that I feel like it would not be great. But then I also have to tell myself, just because it's rebooted doesn't mean the original goes away. You know what I mean?
No.
So sometimes maybe seeing somebody else's interpretation of a film might be pretty cool. I know that I was pretty upset when I had heard that they were going to redo Big Trouble in Little China, which you probably have never seen that movie. It's an old 80s Kurt Russell movie. That's like, it's that if somebody came to me and says, hey, I need you to recommend one movie to me that encaptures the epitome of the 80s, Big Trouble in Little China is the movie I would tell them to watch.
That's like the one.
Legit. And that's even over Back to the Future. But when they said they were going to reboot that with The Rock, I was so mad. I mean, it never happened, at least as of now, but I was super mad. But also, like, what do you think about the reboot of Jumanji? Which I guess
they did
technically,
it well. They kind of followed,
I guess,
the
technically
rules.
It's, well, I guess technically it's not a reboot if you think about it.
It's a sequel, but it's like a soft reboot because it's a new cast. But also they embrace the modernizing without losing its soul. You know, that kind of stuff you talked about.
I guess that is a good example. They did it pretty well, and I think they performed and were received pretty well. Yeah. I think too.
I think so.
I'm trying to think if there was any movies that I felt like were rebooted that we didn't need.
We don't need any of them.
No, that's true. That's true. All right. Well, anything else to add for reboots, do's and don'ts?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and talk about looking ahead. I mean, I don't think you have much to look forward to. You just got back from Greenville. What were some of the things you liked about Greenville? I mean, obviously you talked about work, but
real quick.
Well, that's a little awkward because Justin just decided to dip out. There he is. You said, wait. And then you just kicked yourself out of the room.
I did. Hold on.
And I was just like, and then I just let our viewers know, well, that's awkward. He just removed himself from chat.
I did. So, all right. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. That's the first one, like the reboot, right? It has a 76% on Rotten Tomatoes. All right.
Okay.
Jumanji, The Next Level, that's the sequel to that one, had a 72%. All right.
Okay. Still pretty good.
What does the classic original Jumanji have?
92.
Think it's a 92?
No, probably not.
Dude, this is like the ultimate, like, I hate everything about the world.
Was it less?
51.
No, it's way better than a 51.
It's 51. The audience score is a 63.
That still seems low.
It's crazy low. Yeah. I don't know, like, if everyone got like really high and decided to review this on the same day or what, but that movie's low, no less than a 90. So F you guys.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Didn't mean to dip out for a second. I was trying to go back on Rotten Tomatoes, but I went back on.
I said, what are you looking forward to? And you just peaced out.
Nothing. Looking forward to going to bed.
Yeah, I know. It is. So it's hard to believe it's after 9 o'clock, honestly.
I know. So I've got a Reds game coming up soon. Looking forward to probably going to Kings Island here pretty soon.
We need to find a date, honestly, for you to come down here and go to a game with me.
I'd like to. Yeah. Let's do that.
I'll look up the dates. I'll do all the heavy lifting.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me when to come down.
Okay. We'll do.
Like, come on down, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. So Reds game. Anything else? That's it.
And Kings Island and just like warm weather. You know, and, there's nothing immediate coming up. So,
and that's true. But we did also get, we forgot to mention at the top of the show, but we did get a new Deadpool trailer, which
we did.
Looks really good. I think it was nice to see a little bit more Wolverine in it because the first teaser, there was like you saw a shadow and that was pretty much it. I cannot wait to see all the cameos and surprises we get because I have a feeling there's going to be a ton of them.
Will Taylor Swift be in it?
What was her character? Not Star.
Dazzler.
That's right. Yeah, I don't know, man.
I feel like they're going to announce that before because that's going to like boost the sales.
You know what's going to happen though? If that does that, imagine how much more a box office impact from people going to see that movie that would not normally go to see that movie.
What if she gets the Brad Pitt treatment? Like 1 millisecond.
People would still go see it, honestly.
They would.
So. Was Peter was the one guy's name Peter with the mustache?
Yeah.
That was he was the only one that lived, right?
Yeah, he's in the trailer for the new one.
That's what I thought. Okay. I wasn't sure if we were in a different multiverse or if he ended up living. That's all.
I don't remember. I thought they all died actually, but maybe he didn't.
Well, he had his little time watch, remember? And at the end of it, he time jumped.
Okay.
Because if you remember, the girl was dead.
Yeah.
So so me, I'm looking forward to vacation in June and July. That's the closest thing I'm looking forward to currently. And then also possibly getting back into some, well, I guess in July too, I'm looking forward to the Final Fantasy expansion coming out. Pretty looking forward to that.
Yeah.
All right, for picks of the week, let's talk about that. I'm going to go ahead and let you go because I already had a feeling.
Yeah, we talked about it a lot already. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but Fallout is my pick of the week. I mean, it's just so freaking good. Just watch it. If you haven't watched it, watch it.
Yeah. So for me, I don't think you had enough time to you didn't check this out yet, did you? What I'm about to talk about?
Is it what you guys put in the chat earlier?
Yes.
Yeah.
You have not got to check it out yet, right?
No. I mean, I what do you mean check it out? I saw what you...
Well, I meant you haven't got to play with it yet, is what
no,
I'm trying to say.
No.
Okay. All right. So what I'm going to talk about here is I was trying to pull it up so I could share it, but I'm not going to worry about it. It is two things. One, it's the Delta emulator for iOS. Leading up to this point, emulators were not welcome on the App Store, but there were some policy changes to allow them to finally be on the App Store. And now you can actually emulate, I think, all the way up to Nintendo 64 you can get the app directly on the App Store, no side loading, anything like that. But yeah, you can go all the way up to Nintendo 64. So Delta Emulator app, it's free. The guys out here doing God's work, because not only is the app free, it's not even a freemium app. It's just straight up free. There's no ads, no pop-ups, none of that nonsense. Works really well. Obviously supports touchscreen. But my second recommendation is the GameSir G8 Galileo, which is a controller for your phone. It's the style that slides here. Programmable buttons, has back paddle buttons as well that are programmable, which is great. Face plates are magnetic, so you can snap these off and change the color and the look. The joysticks are Hall Effect, but you can actually pop these off and switch out joysticks really easy as well. But yeah, I think it's $79, but works really, really well. You can charge it via USB-C at the bottom, and it also has headphone jack pass through, so you can plug in some actual headphones to the controller if you want. So Delta app mixed with this allows you to basically just have yourself a little handheld retro console that's super portable. So pretty cool.
Nice. You just download the ROMs like your Apple Files app, and then load them from there.
Yep.
Provided you own the game, of course.
Yeah, of course. I only put it in the games that I have. So I have I actually own GoldenEye. I actually have Gradius, a few others.
Will you go grab your GoldenEye off the shelf? I just want to see it. It's been so long since I've seen a copy of it.
It's actually packed away in a box back here.
Could you rifle through the box and?
Because I don't have my game consoles hooked up right now. My retro ones.
Any game at all that you have. I'm kidding.
Yeah, dude.
Cops, get them.
Get him. Well, anyways, so that is my pick of the week. Thanks for that. But anyways, anything else you'd like to add before we close out here?
Heck no.
Wow. Okay. In closing, just wanted to say thanks everyone for tuning into episode 147. I would ask a little call to action. If you would like and subscribe to our podcast or our channel on YouTube, make sure to like and review us as well. It helps with the algorithms when it comes to searching and just recommended podcasts based off keywords. And also, more importantly, share us with your friends. Get us into people's ear holes so they can check us out. But we should be back to, I feel like we say this every week, we're going to get back into regular cadence of this. I know that we're going to get a few episodes loaded into a bottle so that if we need a filler episode when one of us aren't going to be here, but we'll get better about turning out content on a regular basis, as long as I remember not to delete it. So there's that. That does it for us on this episode of Nerds with Bikes, and we will see you on the next one.
Bye.
Peace out. We'll be right back.